What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of College Hockey Talk. I'm your host, Matthew, and thank you so much for listening to another episode. On today's podcast, I am joined by Ohio State women's hockey player Jenna Buglioni. In this episode, we discuss many things, including Jenna's college hockey experience with Ohio State. We talk about her journey to Ohio State, and we also talk about making it to the Frozen Four and how her team handles being ranked. However, before we get to today's episode, I'd just like to ask if you can please follow us on social media, whether it's on Instagram or Twitter, at College Hockey Talk. When you follow us on social media, you get updates on this podcast and other fun things that are going on in the college hockey world. Also, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can watch this entire interview, as well as some of our older interviews as well. Also, subscribe to us on our Apple Podcast page where you can leave a rating and review, and also follow us on Spotify as well. Doing these things helps our podcast grow, helps new people find us, and I would truly appreciate it if you did those things. Now, without further ado, here's today's episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of College Hockey Talk. On today's podcast, I'm joined by a sophomore from the Ohio State women's hockey team, Jenna Buglioni. Welcome to the podcast, Jenna, and thank you so much for coming on today. How's everything going?
It's good. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, it's hard to believe that you just finished the first half of your sophomore season. So what have you taken away from the games you've played so far, and how would you evaluate your team's performance as of now?
I think the first half has been really good for us. The first half, since we had quite a few transfers and new players come in, was really good for us to kind of get into a flow and get everybody kind of accustomed to Buckeye hockey. I think that since we've played pretty much everybody, it's given us a good kind of benchmark going into second half.
Yeah, what was it like kind of trying to blend in with all the transfers that came into your team this year?
It was definitely cool because they each bring something totally unique, and I think that they strengthen our culture and our program even more than we have been in the past few years. So I think that they're a big key to our success that we're having so far.
Now, how are you approaching the second half of the season? Like, what are your team's goals and expectations, especially since you split against Minnesota Duluth last time you had games? And obviously that's a team that's going to be competing with your team as the second half of the season rolls on.
For sure. I think the second half is going to be really big for us. All games are really important. You can't underestimate anybody, but I think it's going to play to our advantage a little bit with our top games against Wisconsin, Duluth, and also the Minnesota Gophers. They're all at home for us in the second half, so I think that'll be an advantage to us to give us some more juice. I think we're hoping to take it far and go all the way to the end, hopefully all the way winning a national championship. But, I mean, we're just kind of taking it weekend at a time, game by game, and see how the second half rolls for us here.
Now, I assume that you are currently on break, so how's that been to kind of get away from hockey for a little bit? And do you have any holiday plans, or is it kind of just relaxing?
Yeah, it's been nice. I got home almost a week ago, and then I go home next week. So it's actually a good break for us just to be with our families and, you know, have some time away from the rink. Obviously, still taking care of business and getting our workouts and training in. But it's nice to see family and some friends that you don't see too often.
Now, talk about what it's like playing in the WCHA this year compared to your freshman year and just the competition you face every night, especially with St. Thomas joining the conference. Have you noticed any change of style of play with them joining? And what's just it like playing in the WCHA? Because it's arguably the best conference in women's college hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen too big of a difference since last year. I mean, last year was a bit of a weird year with COVID. Playing wise, I'd say it's pretty similar. It's pretty cool to have St. Thomas join our league. It's nice to have an extra team and an extra travel weekend to go to. It makes it a bit more exciting. I think that WCHA, I mean, in my opinion, I'm a little bit biased, but I think we are the best conference in college hockey. And I think that every night you just have to come and compete. You never know who's going to beat who. It's always there's been a lot of upsets this year so far, and I think that that may continue to keep happening with some teams in the second half. I think that you just don't underestimate anybody, and you're always going to get somebody's best. So that's something that we always keep in mind every game that we play in our conference.
Now, what's been the biggest improvement you've made to your game this year? Because last season you had 15 points, and now already this season you have 18 points. So it seems like you've made a huge offensive jump in your game so far this year.
I think this year I'm just playing with a bit more confidence. Last year, I think as the year went on, I kind of felt more comfortable. But this year it's been a lot more confidence for me and more kind of knowing what to do with the puck. I feel like in college hockey, the time you have to think with the puck and just the time you have in general is decreased significantly from high school. So I think just building my confidence and knowing what to do with the puck once I get it has been something that has helped grow my game. And then playing with Jen and Gabby has really helped me because I played with them last year, and that chemistry we've built has just continued on to this year, and it's been really awesome. And I think a lot of it goes to them just finding me in the right spots.
Now, obviously with confidence, I think it's a big part of the game that not enough hockey players like to talk about. But because for me personally, whenever I play with confidence, I feel like I'm a much better hockey player. I'm playing with more energy. I feel like I'm winning more board battles. I wonder if you feel the same way, because I feel like confidence is so hard to gain, but it's so easy to lose. Yet it's such a big factor in regards of trying to be your best self as a hockey player.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's hard to gain and it's really fast to lose. But I think that the group of people I have around me at Ohio State really helps build my confidence just with the support that they give me. And then just not being so hard on myself. I feel like I'm one of those people that I like hold myself to a pretty high standard. So I think trying to focus on the positives helps my confidence grow. And I mean, there's a fine line between being confident and being a bit arrogant, but if you have that confidence and like a little bit of that swagger, I think that helps you play to your best ability.
Now, your team is currently ranked. So my question is, how do you and your teammates kind of maintain that consistency in regards to winning games? And also, how do you handle the pressure of being a ranked team? Because it seems to me that you guys don't really seem to care or notice about it when watching your team play.
Yeah, I mean, it is always kind of in the back of our heads because we know that everybody is gunning for us kind of up at the top. And being ranked is a huge honor. I know that there's a lot of teams that are just in that level as well. And I think playing against some really hard teams helps us stay at that level. And I think each week in practice, it's really stressed to us. Like, you can go down just as fast as you can go up. So we need to be performing at our best because everybody's going to be coming for us and give their best to us each night. So I think that that's something that we really focus on is controlling what we can control and playing our game and our style, because we're pretty hard to play against when we're firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, and it seems like that mentality is your team culture, just like I said, from an outsider's perspective. So just talk about the team culture that your team has, because I feel like if you have a bad culture in the locker room, it won't translate to wins on the ice. So how does your team build that team culture, especially this year with a lot of new players? And how do you try to maintain that culture as well of just being positive with each other?
Yeah, I think culture is something that when I was getting recruited was preached very heavily, and kind of from an outside, you may not always be able to tell the culture true. But as soon as I came in, I knew that this was a really great place to be. The culture for us has been built through many years before I got there, and the expectation of that grows each and every year. I know that our captains this year and players like Emma and Tatum, they have been in the culture from a long time ago, and they're big aspects to why it is the way it is today. I think our culture is just like being relentless and on a pursuit for perfection. You know, perfection is really hard to achieve, but if you're always pursuing it, like, you keep raising the bar. And I think that's something year by year that we just keep striving for is excellence on the ice, but also just being good people and caring for each other deeply. I know that our staff cares deeply for us and for each other, and that kind of shows us how to care for each other. And even this year with a lot of new players, we did have a lot of existing players from previous years that were able to be like, hey, this is our culture and you add something to us, but also this is what we have built, and they fit perfectly into it right away.
Now, also, what's something that happened in the first half of the season is your team got to travel to Washington, D.C. What was that experience like for you to just go out east? But also, talk about what you took away from those games, because you beat some really big opponents as well.
Yeah, those games were stressed heavily to us, but those were really important games. I mean, any other conference is really important, and St. Lawrence and Penn State were really good competition, and it was cool to see kind of the different playing styles from the WCHA. I know that last year we didn't get any out of conference until we were at the top eight against Boston College. So it was cool at this point in the season to kind of see where we line up against the other conferences and kind of show them what we're about. And then just the trip in general was really exciting. I've never been to DC before, and being a Canadian, I didn't know too much about the history of all the things that are there. So we did some touring around, and that was exciting for me as well to see all the sights and be a tourist for the weekend after we took care of business on the ice.
What are some of the things that your team got to do in DC?
We went to the monument, and the big one. And
the Washington
one? The Washington one. And then we saw the Vietnam War Memorial. And then we went to the other war memorial. I'm sorry, I don't remember what it's called, but that one was really cool. We got to see like the Kennedy family there and the changing of the guard. And then we saw like the Lincoln Memorial and the Air and Space Museum, White House, and kind of all the works we spent an extra day there kind of to do all that stuff. So that was really cool to see things that I'd never seen like that before.
Yeah, no, the Vietnam War Memorial is really moving, I think, when you go there, just because to see all the names of the people that have died in that war for the U.S. is just, it kind of, I don't know what the word is to describe it, but just is kind of moving, I guess, is how I would, especially since, you know, my grandfather served for the U.S. in the Vietnam War. So it just, for me, it was, I've been there one time, and it was pretty moving.
Yeah, like it kind of puts it into perspective, like, wow. Mm-hmm. Like, we wouldn't have what we have today if it weren't for those people. So it's really, it was, some of it was pretty sad, but I mean, it was a really good experience, I think, to be able to see some things like that.
That's awesome. And then kind of also something that happened in the first half of the season was the tournament got expanded to 11 teams. I just want to get your thoughts on that. And how do you think it's going to affect your team for the second half, kind of approaching the WCHA playoffs?
Yeah, I think, it's really good for women's hockey. I think that we needed that kind of expansion. I think it'll give a really good opportunity for some teams that may not have had that in this year. So I think that that's something that is good, and I hope that the women's game just keeps growing. For us, I think we have the opportunity to maybe be like a host school for one of the rounds. So I think that that would be something that has not happened in program history. So that's kind of where our sights are right now, moving into the second half. And if we can take care of business and do our thing throughout each weekend, I'm hoping that that can happen for us. I mean, we just want to go far in the playoffs. So hopefully like we can host, and that would be super cool. So that expansion of the tournament gives us that opportunity.
Now, you were saying before how playing St. Lawrence and Penn State, you kind of noticed different styles of play between other conferences in the WCHA. I just want to ask, what are some of the differences you noticed between style of play? Just because from watching some of your games, it seems like the WCHA is a little more of a physical conference, like a lot more pushing and shoving and some body checks that are more let go in the WCHA versus, I guess, the ECAC.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think there's a lot of skill in the WCHA, don't get me wrong, but I think that in the other conferences, maybe there's a little bit more time with the puck and a little bit more of like stick skill game. Whereas in the WCHA, like you said, it's a lot of physical play, a lot of like fast pace, definitely have to have your head up. Like you said, there's a lot of players that aren't afraid to use their bodies and use that to their advantage. And I think it was cool to see, like, when we played, like, Penn State, they were a very, like, skilled team and had some players on their team that could do a lot of nice things with the puck. And same with St. Lawrence. They were also, I would say that they were a physical team as well. I would say that they kind of compared to some of the teams in the WCHA in that regard. But, yeah, every night, like, in the WCHA, it's definitely a physicality it's definitely a physical game and there's a lot of physicality and it's kind of a grind. But I mean, I like that style of play. I'm a small player, but I think to my advantage when I play bigger than I am. So I like playing in kind of a chippy, gritty league.
Yeah, what are your thoughts? Because I feel like refereeing in the WCHA, like, does your approach, I guess, change when you play now in a conference game? Because the refereeing could be either very stricter or it could be a little more lenient. That's why I personally believe that body checking should be allowed in women's hockey, just because you won't have the differential in regards to refereeing the game. I feel like refereeing should be kind of the same throughout each game. You shouldn't have to approach it different because of who's refereeing the game. I just want to get your thoughts on that, if, like, your approach changes all because of the refereeing and, like, if they're more stricter on body checking or not.
I think we saw that in DC a little bit. The refs were, I think they were CHA refs, and they were definitely a bit more strict on the body contact and the physical play. But I think for myself and for our team, we don't change the way we play. Just we kind of take care of the little stick penalties and stuff like that, trying to avoid those. But I think something that elevates our game is how physical we can be on the puck. And I think that we can annoy a lot of teams when we're playing like that. So for us, we don't really change our game too much with who we're playing. We just kind of stick to what works for us.
Have you ever had a big, like, body check in a game before?
Like, receiving it or giving it?
Both, I guess.
Definitely received a few. I'm only 5'3", so definitely going up against some bigger girls, I've received some. But I feel like I've tried to give a few, depending on maybe who the player is. If they're way bigger than I am, I would try, and it wouldn't really work. But I mean, I wouldn't, there's parts of me that wouldn't mind body checking in women's hockey. And then there's parts of me that are maybe for myself, I should be a bit more realistic and know that that might not be the best thing for my game. But I think it would be really good for having women's hockey players have more like spatial and time awareness, knowing that, oh, hey, this girl might come and hit me into the boards, knowing kind of your awareness of the space and time that you have. I think that that would be something that would like kind of force girls to play like that. But, you know, I don't know if the women's hockey game will ever get to have body checking in it or not.
Yeah, I think it's, if they do implement it, it'll be like starting in the younger levels of playing, just because you have to learn like how to hit someone, but also take a check too. And it just takes time to kind of develop that. So it could kind of less, I guess, make injuries less, I guess, frequent if you do implement it. It won't just be, like, added to college hockey. Just, like, because you don't want a free-for-all. And I think that would make more injuries happen, which is obviously not the case. But I feel like if they implemented the younger levels and taught those players, I don't see why they wouldn't want to have it, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that if it's implemented earlier, like you said, they can learn how to not only, like, give a hit properly, but take one in a way that is going to cause less injury. And
as long as there's no embarrassing like photo of you getting checked, that's the one thing. I don't know if there's any out there. I haven't seen any, so that's good.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen any either, so I hope that there isn't.
Now, I kind of want to transition to your freshman year, because obviously that was different than this year that you're playing now. My question is, how did you deal with all the challenges that your team faced with, like, without playing in front of fans, but also with the inconsistent schedule since there are games being postponed and canceled? And I guess that could come back, but how'd you deal with it for last year?
Yeah, I mean, I really hope it doesn't come back. And it was a little bit hard, I'm not gonna lie, not especially at the start of the year, not knowing when we were going to be able to play or if we were going to be able to play. But something that really helped was knowing that it wasn't just us going through it, kind of each girl beside you in the locker room and all the other teams were going through the same thing that we were. And it was really out of our control. So it's like, we can't really focus on it and dwell on it too much, because, you know, it's for our safety. And it was hard not knowing and not really playing. It's a long preseason, as long as we think the normal one is, and as hard as it is, that one was definitely long, because it was a couple months. But I think it might have worked like into my advantage a little bit, just giving myself a bit more time to practice and adjust to the pace in practice with our girls and not being thrown into games right away. I think that's something that actually helped me. And then, yeah, not playing in front of fans was definitely a bit weird. I know I'm from pretty far away from Ohio State, so not having my parents come was something that was hard as well. But near the end of the year, some of our parents were able to be in the stands, and that was cool to see them, and they were cheering for us all the way through. So, I mean, I'm glad that they were able to come for a little bit. This year has been really cool to see how many people actually come out and support women's hockey. So that's a big change for sure.
Yeah, has your family gotten the chance to see you play in person? I hope that's the case. That would kind of be disappointing if that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, my parents came in, I think it was October when we played Bemidji at home. My parents came and watched that series. So that was cool to see them in the stands. I mean, I try not to focus too much on outside the glass because it's a little bit distracting sometimes, especially when you're playing in a rink where there's lots of people. But yeah, it was really cool to have them there for the weekend.
Yeah, but it brings you that kind of sense of comfort level. But also, I think one thing I was talking to another player about was it's nice to have the post-game like meeting. That's mm-hmm. something that a lot of players, or I don't think any players got the chance to do after the game for last season. So that must have been nice to get that like conversation after the game.
Yeah, for sure. It was nice to go and give them a hug. And they stayed an extra day, so I was able to hang out with them a little bit after as well. And just chat and kind of show them my life at Ohio State since they're not there with me all the time.
Now, something that was added to college hockey last year was 3-on-3 overtime. What's that been like for yourself as an offensive player to have more space in the ice and have more, I guess, offensive opportunities to score goals?
Yeah, it's definitely good for the offensive side of the game. Just having that space to kind of skate around and move the puck around. But it can be really hard on the defensive end as well. I know that we went to 3-on-3 overtime with Wisconsin earlier in the year, and both of our teams are very strong offensively and defensively, but you just have to have that much more awareness of your defensive zone coverage. And even on the offensive side, your shot selection, you don't want to shoot over the net and give them a breakout or odd man rush or whatever. But I think as an offensive player, it's kind of to our advantage to have that extra room to be creative and move around. So I like the 3-on-3. I mean, some players don't like it, but I like it, and I like to play with the speed and being able to kind of wheel around.
Yeah, I understand why some players don't like it, just because, mm-hmm. one, if it's 4-on-4, the game gets more congested and it just is less exciting. It's boring hockey, and I think less results come out of it because no one likes a tie. I've never met someone who likes a tie. I think if you like a tie, you're crazy. So that's why I think 3-on-3 helps open the game up a little bit more and helps mm-hmm. Get goals to be scored. So that's why I just don't understand why someone would want not like 3-on-3. Maybe if you're like really defensive like minded, but like I guess like you have to think about it from like other parts of it as well.
Yeah, I think in 3-on-3 it's a lot more back and forth because there's just that more room to skate. And the one good thing I like about WCHA is that we never like end in a tie. Even if the 3-on-3 doesn't get resolved, there's always a shootout. So that's kind of something that's unique to us, is that there's always a winner. Because like you said, having a tie is not ideal.
I heard, though, it doesn't count, though, regarding, like, rankings or anything. Like, it goes down officially as a tie, but, like, the shootout is just for, like, WCHA points in the standings. Am I correct on that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess it feels good to get the extra point, but I don't know. Deep down, it's like you know it's a tie, which I think would be a little disappointing.
Yeah, deep down you know it's a tie, but I mean it's always kind of fun to see what some girls will try to do in a shootout or something like that.
I feel like one rule they should implement is have the overtime. If you win the overtime, you get every single point. It's not like you get an extra point for overtime. And I don't know, I feel like that would make it more urgency and maybe more goals could be scored, and then have it also count towards the rankings as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, in the WCHA playoffs your freshman year, you beat Minnesota Duluth before heading off to play Wisconsin in the WCHA finals.
just talk about that game against Duluth, because it seemed like the offense was clicking that night, and you really just outplayed them that entire game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that was a really exciting game. I don't think we expected that going into that game. We knew it was going to be a dogfight. Like, they're a very good team. Hats off to them. But, yeah, our offense was just clicking. I don't think we scored that many in the first period, but once we got into the second, it just seemed to be rolling for us, and we were just able to capitalize, and it was a really exciting game to watch, and just to see, wow, our offense seems to be clicking kind of at the right time. And yeah, it was definitely nice to get that big win.
Yeah, and I think like 7 players got like a point that game, if I'm not mistaken, so it must have been nice to have everyone kind of contribute to that win.
For sure, yeah.
And then you unfortunately lost to Wisconsin in the WCHA finals. So what did you take away from that game, and what was your team's mindset heading into the national tournament after that loss?
Yeah, that loss was tough for us. I mean, anytime you lose, it sucks. And we really wanted that win. I know that the girls that had won it the year before kind of had that taste of the WCHA win in their mouths that they wanted to get again. But I think we just knew that we did as much as we could. I mean, and we lost in overtime, and that always seems to be more of a dagger to the heart than just regular time. I don't know if others feel that way, but I think we're just like, okay, that obviously sucked, but let's hope that we get a bid into the tournament and then do what we can and try to beat them when it counts. Obviously that didn't happen, but we were kind of just focusing on what was next and what we could do to get ourselves going.
Yeah, in that tournament, just first of all, before we get to talking about what happened in the games, what was it like being a player in the tournament? Because it's a little bit different, I guess, from previous years, because usually they have the red carpet experience and all that. But what was it like being in the tournament? Because it seemed like fans were starting to come back to games. So what was it like just being a player in that atmosphere, and just talk about just some of the extracurricular activities you got to do in Erie?
Yeah, it was cool. We got to have a lot of fans there. Like, a lot of our parents were there, and we had a lot of alumni come, which was something that was super special. They're very proud of our program, and it was nice to see them make the trip out to watch us play. It was cool. I mean, we played in a really nice rink there in Erie, I think, where the Erie Otters play. So that was a cool experience to be kind of in a venue that provided a lot of fans to be there. Extracurricular activities, I mean, we didn't do like too much just with COVID, but yeah, it was cool that we got to spend quite a bit of time there, and it was fun for our team to be there. Like, on the nights we had off, we'd play card games and stuff together, watch other games that were happening like in the NHL and stuff like that. So it was a cool experience for sure.
Now, you played Boston College in the first game of the national tournament. What challenges did that team bring, and talk about getting that W against a really solid opponent in Hockey East?
Yeah, we didn't play any out-of-conference games, so it was kind of a toss of what we were going to get from them. It was a little bit nerve-wracking just not knowing, playing a new opponent, but it was so exciting because it brought a whole new challenge, and our team really rose to that challenge. I think they got on the board on us before we did. Like, we were losing for a little bit there, but we just kept firing and going in all cylinders. Give it to them. They were a really good team. They were really tough to play against, and they have some really skilled players. But, yeah, it was really nice to get that win. I think that helped build our confidence a little bit going in to the next round, because it was somebody new, and we thought, well, this could be a 50-50 game. Like, let's go and play our best, and hopefully our best gets the job done. And it did. And it was cool to, like, just have a different challenge than what we had for the whole year, and that experience of playing someone new.
You then went on to play a familiar face in Wisconsin again in the Frozen Four. So how did that game compare, first of all, to the WCHA final? And just talk about that game as a whole, because it seemed like it was a little bit different. But how do you prepare for an opponent that you've played like several times before in a big game like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing for myself was just trying to keep the nerves down. It's not as much pre-scouting, because you know what to expect. We played them quite a few times over the course of the year. So it's more keeping the nerves down. Let's tighten up some things that maybe we saw against Boston College that we did. Let's focus on what we can do. The start of the game for us wasn't so hot. We didn't play a full 60 minutes, which I think was kind of our downfall at the end of the game. Maybe if we got going a little bit earlier, it could have been a different story. But yeah, I think I was proud and our team was proud to say what we put out there, because at the end of the day, we gave it our all and we came up a little bit short. But I think that fuels us for this year, knowing that maybe we'll have a chance to get back at them again.
Now, yeah, what emotions were you feeling after that loss? And I guess how are you using it for this year?
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating and sad losing, especially in a big game like that. We had a lot of high expectations. I think that the girls were feeling like, oh, like we can totally win this game. Like, we just need to play our game, play our style. And it sucks coming up short and having your season ending when you're just so close. But there was a lot of good things in the experience and in the season last year that we can carry on to this year. And it only fuels us more to try to get that national championship under our belts.
Now, last year you got to play with Emma Malte, who's currently centralized for Team Canada. What was it like playing with her? But also talk about what it's like being with her teammate off the ice, because I feel like we all see the skill set that she has on the ice, but we don't really know too much what she's like off the ice. So just talk a little bit about that.
For sure. It's definitely an honor. She's not only an unreal hockey player, but an unreal person. I learned a lot from her over the year, not just on the ice, but off the ice. She was definitely a good mentor for me. I still keep in touch with her a lot. And we were roommates on the road. So that helped me kind of learn like how she ticks and how she like prepares for games, because she's probably one of the most mentally prepared as well as physically prepared for every game. And she just like is such a focused and determined player. Like you said, like her skill set and mindset is just off the charts. And just watching her in practice, like, she's taught me how to be a real competitor and how to be a leader. Like, she was an unreal leader to us. So I think there's multiple things that I could say about her. I have a very long list of positives, and I just think that she was like a really good person, and she just was really encouraging and inspiring, especially as somebody who wants to one day be in those shoes. Yeah, she just taught me how to be elite, and I just was really grateful that I got the opportunity to play with her. And I really hope that she comes back for next season after the centralization year for her extra year of eligibility. That would be really nice for our team to have her back.
And you also got to play with Tatum Skaggs last year, who I think was one of the most underrated players in college hockey last year. So what was it like playing with her? And just talk about the leadership that she brought, because you mentioned how she was a big part of the culture that was built for Ohio State.
Yeah, for sure. She's definitely one of those energy givers to our team. She's very energetic. She's very loud. She's really funny. She's somebody that we definitely miss having in the locker room this year. She was also an inspiring player to me, just kind of watch how she ticked, to watch how she operated. And I totally agree with you of how she was a very underrated hockey player. I think that she was very effective at her career in Ohio State, and she definitely knows how to score and knows how to be an offensive threat. So it was cool watching her as well and being her teammate. And she's just a really great person as well. I got to be around her a lot and connect with her, and I'm grateful for that experience, as well as Emma and the other seniors that we had last year.
Now this year you get to play with Lexi Templeman, who's been one of the most impressive players in college hockey this year. Talk about what it's like playing with her, because obviously I don't think a lot of people expected her to come to Ohio State this year just because of the situation with Robert Moore. So how'd you get to know her a little bit, since she kind of showed up later than expected?
Yeah, definitely sucked that Robert Morris got cut off, but I mean, I'm very happy that her, Reagan and Emily chose Ohio State, because they're all really great people. I sit beside Lexi in the locker room, so I've gotten to know her pretty well, and she's just a really great person. Like, she's probably one of the most supportive people, and I always can rely on her to kind of give me a pickup if I ever need it. But yeah, she's a very good hockey player and very smart and very, very determined. She's one of the hardest working players I know. And I just think that she's brought something special to our team, and she had a lot of success, I know, at Robert Morris. And I think that she's continuing that success to help us this year.
Now, the last person I want to ask you about is your coach, Nadine Mazeral. Watching your games from afar, it seems like she's so, always so serious on the bench and very passionate as well. But what she's like as a coach on the bench, obviously, but talk about what she's like off the ice. And does she ever joke around with you guys? Because I feel like that has to happen. It's just off cameras, though.
Yeah, she's definitely very serious, and she's very passionate, like you said. She loves her job. I know that she loves us all. She's hard, but she deep down like really cares for us, and off the ice she's a total mom to us. And definitely when we're taking care of business and we get some time to hang out with her outside of hockey, she's definitely really fun to be around. And it's nice because her family is around us a lot. She has two kids, so we get to see her mom side as well. But yeah, she's a really good coach, and she pushes us and has high expectations for us for sure, but she knows how to get the best of us, and really has been a good addition to Ohio State hockey 5 or 6 years ago when they brought her onto the staff.
Now let's talk about the beginning of your career. So before Ohio State, you played for, you're from British Columbia. Talk about growing up there, and how did you start playing hockey?
Yeah, my dad played hockey growing up, and then I'm the youngest of three siblings. So my siblings started playing hockey, and then I was just always around the rink. So they said, okay, why not just put her in some skates and try hockey? And then being from British Columbia, like, I played a bit of boys hockey growing up because there wasn't as much female hockey when I was really young. And then I started playing in girls, and then yeah, the rest is kind of history. But yeah, just it was in family. That's why I played.
Now, who was your favorite player growing up? Was it someone on the women's national team, or was it someone on the Canucks? And I apologize if you're a big Canucks fan, because I'm wearing my Bruins sweatshirt, big Bruins fan. So I apologize about that if it brings back bad memories.
It for sure does. It's a bit, it's hard on the heart there. But definitely Haley Wickenheiser was probably one of my favorite players growing up. I got the opportunity to skate with her when I was pretty young. So I definitely look up to her, and I think that she was a really great player for Hockey Canada.
Yeah, what was it like skating with her? Because she's obviously in the Hockey Hall of Fame now. And do you think she isn't like arguably the best women's hockey player of all time, or do you think Poulin's kind of beat her to that this year?
I definitely think that she's one of the best hockey players. I think Poulin is right up there with her, if not maybe just surpassed her. But Haley Wickenheiser is one of the best hockey players I think that we'll see in women's hockey.
Now, before college hockey, you played for the Vancouver Comets. So what was that experience like for you, and how'd you get the opportunity to go there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was definitely grateful to play there. It's a really good program to help me develop my game. And two other teammates at Ohio State also went through that program. So I think that that was a good experience for us to play together and know that we were going to be spending some more time at Ohio State. The coach, Mark Taylor, really helped me be the player I am today. He for sure invested a lot of time into me, and I'm very grateful for that. And the Comets was nice because I got to be at my school that I was at before, so I didn't have to change schools like I would with an academy, which was important to me. And then, yeah, it was just, we got the opportunity to do some good tournaments where I could get scouted, and yeah, it was probably one of the best places for me to be at that time.
Now, how did the Comets help prepare you for college hockey with Ohio State?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Mark and Coach Muzz definitely were in a lot of communication after I committed to Ohio State. So she for sure trusts him with the development of players, and just the players I was around, not only with Comets, but in Team British Columbia, then Team Canada, that helped me prepare. Then with my leadership role on Comets, I think that that helped me prepare for kind of coming into Ohio State and knowing what type of player I am and kind of what type of person I am. So I think that overall, like not just my hockey aspect, but all the other aspects were taught to me with the players that were in the program before.
Now, you also played for Team Canada in the U18 World Championships. Talk about that experience and what did you take away from it? Because that's really cool that you got to represent your country on that big of a national stage.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get to wear the maple leaf on your chest, it's a huge honor. And I was really grateful that I was selected for that team. We came up a little bit short in the competition, but I think the overall experience is something that I will for sure remember for the rest of my life. Just meeting all the new players and playing with and against the best players in the whole world and all the best staff was something that was really cool. That was also something that really helped me prepare for college hockey is because I was playing against very, very highly skilled and high level players. So that was cool. And my role on Team Canada was a little bit different than I was used to with the Comets. So I think that helped grow my game because I had a bit of a more defensive role with Team Canada. So I didn't know that my game could be like that. So I think it helped me build my game even more knowing that I had those tools kind of in my toolbox and grow my confidence in that aspect. But yeah, even just being in the international stage was super cool. And I'm very grateful that I was able to go over to Slovakia for that tournament.
Yeah. What was it like being in Europe? I don't know if you've, have you ever been there prior to that tournament and talk about the culture there?
No. Yeah. That was my first time going out there. So that was cool. It was good to see the history because I feel like a lot of European cities have a lot of that historic aspect and style. It was cool to see a lot of different types of people too. Like, it was weird because I thought that there would be a bit more English there, but like I go into the mall and I'd want to buy something and they wouldn't understand anything I was saying.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, like this is totally different culture than what I'm used to. But it was really fun to be there.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I guess like, how did it feel like when that overtime goal was scored? Like, how did you deal with the emotions of that? And have you gotten over it now? And where do you keep the silver medal? Because I feel like I'm an American, so when the U.S. lost in the gold medal game in 2010, I was listening to an interview with one of the American players who were on that team, and they said at first they absolutely hated the silver medal just because they lost in that big game and they wanted to win the gold medal. But he said years later he actually really appreciates that silver medal now just because of what he went through to make the team and be in the Olympics that year. I was just curious if you feel the same way just because the endings were pretty similar, obviously with different countries, however.
Yeah, I mean – it definitely sucked in the moment, and it still sucks a little bit thinking back. I wish the outcome could have been a bit different for us, but I think the overall experience and memories that I made there are far more than just the game. And I think that, like you mentioned, like I'm just so honored that I was playing for Team Canada and that I do have a silver medal. So as much as the loss sucked, I'm definitely really grateful, and it's not as hard to talk about it as it was before, but I know Amanda Teeley on our team, she was one of the goalies for the U.S., so sometimes we'll kind of joke about it or whatever, and just she'll kind of poke fun at me for it, but yeah, I'm just grateful for the experience.
Yeah, and obviously you played Kiara Zanin, who scored that goal, I guess the overtime winner, but I guess you got some revenge against her, against beating Penn State, even though it was a little bit different circumstances.
Yeah, for sure. A little bit of revenge. But yeah, she's an unreal player. I just remember her from Team USA before playing her at Penn State, and just her being in the running for Patty Kaz last year and stuff. I'm like, wow, like she's definitely a very skilled hockey player, and props to her for sure.
Now, last hockey question before we get in the non-hockey segment is just talk a little bit about your recruitment process to Ohio State and what made you want to go there versus the schools you might have looked at.
Yeah, my recruiting with Ohio State started, I think, in my like freshman year of high school with Peter Elander, who was one of the assistant coaches prior at Ohio State. He saw me play at a couple tournaments, and I'd done like a lot of talking with Ohio State, with Peter and with Coach Muzz. So that was something that was really special, was to be able to talk to them and kind of learn about them and the program. And then I had done a tour of a couple schools, and they were my like last stop on the way home. And I just loved it when I was there. It was actually funny because one of the girls that toured me on my unofficial is Liz Shepherds, who's now our graduate student, our captain, and it was in her freshman year that she toured me. So it's kind of cool to see like the difference of her then and her now. But yeah, when I got there, I just immediately like knew that it was the place for me. I love everything about it. I love the big school and the big athletic pride that the city has about the Buckeyes. And I think the schooling aspect, there was a lot of opportunity and resources that were available. And so that was a big draw for me, because I know one day that sports won't be everything and I'll need to have a real girl job. So I think that just seeing the culture when I was there and being around the people was something that was really drew me in. And then Ohio State was just kind of getting on the map. Regarding like performance wise, they were having a little bit of trouble before Coach Nadine went there. So that was something that was exciting to me. It was kind of an up and coming program.
Now, I think recruiting visits are back on. So have you had the chance to do one of those that Liz did? Because that must be weird doing full circle. I don't know who does that or how that's just decided.
Yeah, we kind of like rotate. So I've definitely had a couple girls that I've toured around, and it's really cool because you see them come to our school and it's just like how I assumed I was, wide eyes and just trying to take everything. And it's definitely special, like being a part of that process, because I know that in my instance, like the players really help sell the school as well. And like just their excitement to have you there. So yeah, it's been cool to like see kind of the up and coming hopeful future Buckeyes come through on tours.
So we're now in a segment I like to call the non-hockey segment. We're asking some kind of hockey related questions, but also some non-hockey questions as well. So yeah. Besides women's hockey, what's your favorite sport to watch at Ohio State? Because there seems to be a lot of options.
Yeah. There's definitely a few. I really like watching soccer. I have a few friends on the soccer team, so I like going and watching them. And then, I don't know, I really like watching lacrosse and stuff like that. So those are for sure my top two.
Now, obviously, football is big at Ohio State. Have you had the chance to go to one of those games?
Yes, I should have said football as my last answer as well. But football is one that if you haven't been to a football game at Ohio State, I'd highly recommend, because it's an experience like no other. It's really cool. I didn't really enjoy football before I came to Ohio State, and now I love going and watching the games, and being in the stadium is so cool. I can't imagine how they feel playing in front of that many people, not only in the stadium, but watching on TV and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've never been to a college football game before, but probably because it's not really that popular up here in the Northeast. But, yeah, no, it definitely seems like a cool spot. What game did you see them play? Because didn't Michigan go there this year? Or maybe it was another team. I'm not quite sure. Penn State, one of those.
Yeah, we watched who were they playing? I watched a game against Akron at the start, like earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. And then oh, gosh. I don't even remember. Maybe it was Purdue.
Yeah.
I think that was the game. You know, all I know is that we won. I don't know much about football, but it was definitely really cool. And I can't imagine now being at a school that doesn't have football or football as big as we do, because everybody lives and breathes Ohio State football on campus and off campus.
Yeah, the school I go to, it's not that big at all. So it's kind of weird for me to say. It's like, I don't understand what it's like to go to a big football school. So, yeah, it's kind of weird how different schools have different sports. So,
yeah.
Now, what music do you like to listen to, and what's your guilty pleasure song?
Okay, I like to listen to country music. I'm a big country fan. My guilty pleasure song. Ooh, that's really hard. I would probably say Somewhere in My Car by Keith Urban. I really like that song.
Nice. Was he your number one artist this year?
I don't know. I haven't even looked. Not going to lie. It's probably somebody country.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I just got into country this summer, actually, just because I worked for a baseball team. And a lot of those guys were from, like, the South and California, and country's, like, big over there. So it was kind of cool. Thomas Rhett is probably my favorite. I know that's kind of he's mainstream, but I really enjoy him a lot.
I do like Thomas Rhett as well.
Next question is, since the Olympics are coming up, I kind of want to do a kind of spin on it. So since you're a Canadian player, who's your favorite player on the U.S. Olympic women's team?
Ooh. Oh. Hmm. Probably Kendall Coyne Schofield.
Nice.
I just think she's great. And I think that she's so fast. And she's a smaller player, but she plays with a lot of heart. And I think she's unreal.
I'm surprised you didn't say former Buckeye, Jincy Dunn. I feel like that would have been your answer.
Her as well. Yeah. Jincy, I didn't get to play with her, but she did some like coaching with us last year, and she's around our team a lot. And she's like Emma and Tatum, like just super awesome person. Like, it's really fun to be around.
Didn't you play against her sister? Because I know she plays for Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of her sisters plays Minnesota, and her other younger sister just committed to be a Buckeye. So that's exciting for us.
Will you have the chance to play with her sister, or will that be like after you graduate?
I think she's a 2005, so I think in my senior year she'll
be. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool, actually. So.
Yeah.
Now, what's the most embarrassing hockey moment you've had?
Oh, definitely. There's probably more than one, but a lot of times when I try to like hop the boards, like my legs aren't really long enough. So like my back leg gets caught and I seem to always fall onto the ice when I'm trying to get out. Like not as much in college, but in high school, that was definitely something that was really embarrassing.
Now there's a photo, because I was doing research for this interview, of you kind of flying over a goalie. I kind of want to get the backstory on that, because that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think that was against Duluth last year, against Emma Soderberg. The puck got chipped down in the zone and I was just racing after it. I'd beaten one of their defenders and she came out to play it, and she went down and kind of swatted at it as I was like lunging forward to swat it at it. Hopefully, I don't know what was going through my brain. Maybe I could flick it over her and magically jump over her and then put it in the net, which didn't end up happening. But as she kind of slid, I half jumped, half she took my legs out, and I just flew through the air, then went into the corner, and I didn't end up scoring. But yeah, that's the background kind of on that picture.
I love that photo though. I don't know if you like it too. I just think it's really cool. So I personally really enjoy it.
Yeah, I like it. I think I have it posted on my Instagram or something. It's funny.
What was the caption for it? Probably like flying to the new year.
My caption was like, raise your hand, and then in brackets, and foot if you're excited for game day, something
that's
like
that. That's a good, that's
okay, a good like that.
Is that the best photo you have on the IG?
That's probably the funniest one, yeah.
Now, next question is, if there was a movie made about your life, who would you want to play yourself?
That's a really hard question. And I've been kind of thinking about it. I don't know who realistically I would have play me, but for my more like goofy, funny side, I would probably say Melissa McCarthy.
Nice.
Because I think that she's really funny, and I think that it would be cool to have her play me.
I don't know if she can skate, but if she can, that'll be a pretty funny movie.
I know. I feel like she probably can. We look nothing alike either, but I think she's just so funny.
Now, what's your biggest pet peeve?
People that, when they're eating, like scrape their fork on their plate.
Oh, I hate that.
My brother does it a lot, and so do my dad. And I think that they do it on purpose because they know that it bothers me. But it's like nails on a chalkboard for me. I can't stand it.
Now, are the black Ohio State jerseys the best jerseys in college hockey? And if not, which ones are?
Oh, they for sure are the best ones in college hockey. I'm biased, but yeah, I love playing in our black jerseys. I think they just bring us an extra kind of juice and energy.
Oh yeah, those things are absolute gas. The thing is, you can't, like, for me personally, you can't wear them every, like, that can't just become your road jerseys, because then they just become boring. It has to be like occasionally for like big games. Like,
I know,
wear it one
yeah.
year for against Minnesota, wear it one year against like Wisconsin. But like when those jerseys come out, you know you're ready to play. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, we definitely have worn them quite a few times this year so far. They were like road jerseys when we were in DC. But every time, like last year when we, and this year as well, when we'd come and walk in the locker room and we'd see them there, because they don't tell us when they're coming out. It's just like a
Oh, that's a good
surprise. So
idea.
it's like,
Yeah.
oh, it's so exciting to see them.
I know you guys wore them during the WCHA playoffs, which I thought was cool too. Kind of like, I don't know, like see if you can go on a hot streak in those jerseys.
Yeah, we wore them. I think, yeah, it was against, was it against Duluth we wore them?
I thought you wore them both games in that tournament. Maybe I'm wrong.
Honestly, I don't remember.
I know you definitely wore them against Wisconsin in the finals. That one I remember.
Yeah, it was really, I like wearing them. I think it just brings us an extra spunk, and I think black is pretty intimidating. So they're cool. I'm glad that Coach Muzz designed those.
Oh, she designed them?
I'm pretty sure she had the idea to come up with something like that.
That's really cool. I actually didn't know how those things came about. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she definitely had some say in what they looked like. I know that when they first got them, they actually got a penalty for them because the numbers on the back didn't have like a different color outline.
Oh,
So
that's
you couldn't
stupid.
tell. So they got a penalty because it was like a violation or something. But
That's
then
dumb.
we altered them, so it was cool.
Yeah, I only want the women's hockey team to wear. If the men's team wore it, I think it would kind of ruin a little bit. They should come up with their own alternate. I just want that specifically for the women's hockey team. That's another take I have on it as well.
Yeah, I think that even their like regular jerseys are different than ours.
Oh,
So,
okay, that's good.
yeah.
Who has the best jerseys? Like, what's the best jersey you've seen in college hockey besides an Ohio State one, since we're on the topic of it?
You know, I kind of like Penn State's setup. Like, I like the setup they have with their helmets in the line. Like, I think that's really cool. I think that Duluth's alternate jerseys are cool as well. Like, kind of their like heritage jerseys. So, yeah.
Nice. I haven't seen those, but I'll definitely look them up after this interview. Now, who has the best style on the team besides yourself? Who's number two on the team, I should say?
I would say Jen Gardner. She kind of has a little bit of like similar style to myself, so that's probably why I like it. With like we like roll our cuffs and then we do like the same sock tape. I feel like rolling the cuffs of our jersey, like pulling them up, is a BC thing because the only girls I see do it are BC girls that I've known. It's for sure not an actual just BC thing, but I feel like the only people I see do that are girls from home. So yeah, I would say that she has the best style on our team.
Yeah, and I don't, if you follow the Instagram, I just like to plug this in for a little bit. Shameless plug. We do every weekend. The best styles are pregame outfits of the week. So just whoever's listening from Ohio State, please post those so we can help promote your team, because I want to promote you on that aspect as well.
For sure. There's definitely a lot of girls on our team take pride in their pregame outfits. They like to get all glammed up. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more in the middle section of glammed up, but yeah, it's definitely fun to do that because I mean, I don't dress up very often, so I like dressing up to our games.
Yeah, and at the end of the season, we were going to decide who has the best style in 2021-22 season. So
Right.
obviously, people need to, it'll be definitely a competition to say the least. I know a lot of people want to win that award.
Yeah.
Now, who's the funniest on the team?
Oh. We have a lot of people that are funny. I would say probably Peyton Levis or Madison Bizzal. They're both quite the personalities. They're both really funny. Emma Malte and Peyton Levis together, though, are something. Like, they're for sure, they're crazy. They're really funny to be around. But yeah, definitely those two, I think, are the funniest on our team.
Who is the best trash talker on the team?
Oh. We don't really have a lot of trash talkers, I don't think.
Just scoreboard? That's kind of your
kind of, you know, talk. I would maybe Kenzie Hawsworth, but like we don't really have anybody that chirps or trash talks very much. So, yeah.
Now, who has the cleanest locker in the locker room? Who keeps that the cleanest, I guess?
There's a lot of girls that are pretty clean. Probably like Claire DeGeorge. She's pretty clean. I would say her locker is probably the cleanest. Yeah.
Now back to some hockey questions now. First one is, what should be done to help grow women's hockey in your opinion?
Definitely just getting more opportunities for girls to be seen. Like having more televised games and just opportunity for high level to be played. I think the expansion of the tournament is one step in the right direction. And then just like hopefully building a more sustainable professional league for the girls is something that'll really help. And I mean, it might take a little bit of time and it might take some help from other like established programs. But I definitely think that there's steps that are going in the right direction.
Now, what advice would you give a younger player who's trying to pursue a D1 scholarship?
I think definitely just always working your hardest and wanting to get better hockey-wise. Just be confident. And then take care of your school as well because, you know, you're a student athlete at the end of the day. The schooling is just as important as playing hockey. So I think being able to time manage to have success in both aspects is something that's important.
Now, do you have any shout outs you'd like to give to any of your family members, teammates, friends, players on other teams potentially as well? We mentioned some people throughout the interview. So if there's anyone I forgot to mention or you forgot to mention, feel free to shout them out now or plug something in. This time is yours.
No, yeah, just shout out my family and all the people in Buckeye hockey, especially my teammates and my coaching staff and all the alumni that have made Buckeye hockey what it is today. I don't really have much else to say. I'm just really proud to be a Buckeye and play at Ohio State. I know that I'm going to give Ohio State everything I got and it's giving me more in return. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Jenna, for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. I wish you nothing but the best for the rest of the season. Take care. Stay safe. And I also like to apologize. I should have said the Ohio State. I know some people get upset about that. So hopefully you can forgive me on that one.
Oh, yes. You're all forgiven. Thank you so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for listening to today's interview of College Hockey Talk. If you want to check out our older interviews, make sure to do that. You can do that on the Apple Podcast page, Spotify account, or our YouTube channel where you can watch many different interviews from this podcast. Make sure you follow our social media accounts at College Hockey Talk, and I'll see you guys next time with another great interview. But until then, take care and have a great day. Bye. You're full of confidence.